Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and I'm coming to you with a special announcement. I want to talk to you about the fall classes at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute. This fall, we will be offering Defending the Christian Faith on Monday evenings, American Sign Language on Monday evenings, Financial Peace on Monday evenings. On Tuesday, we will have Biblical Counseling, where we teach people how to use the Bible to counsel others. And then we have a special class coming up on Thursdays, and it will begin in October, dealing with Black Hebrews, something that is happening in our communities today that we want to be aware of. So come and join us here at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute. Take a class. For more information, you can call us at 412-242-3255. For more information, you can call us at 412-242-3255. God bless you as you listen this evening.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we continue our series on spiritual warfare titled Looking for a Reason to Fight, with the first half of The Breastplate of Righteousness. So please open your Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, as we join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Breastplate of Righteousness.
All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, the apostle says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And we're continuing on with our series that we started way back. See, a lot of people think that this is a series on the spiritual armor, but we started way back before the spiritual armor, and the title of our series that we've been dealing with is Looking for a Reason to Fight. That's the greater series that we're doing, looking for a reason to fight. And we said that everybody needs to have a reason to fight. You need to be fighting for something. You need to have a cause. Remember we talked about David when he was out there against Goliath, and he saw Goliath taunting God's people. And David jumped up and said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's defying the armies of God?" David realized that there was a God. David loved God. David wanted to serve God. He couldn't believe that the armies was letting Goliath stand out there and sell wolf tickets to God's people. And David said, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason for us to be out here fighting? Isn't there something to be fighting about?" And then we said, once you get into this fight, once you identify the fight, then you know the next thing that's going to happen. You're going to receive some opposition, and the opposition is coming from Satan. He wants to discourage you. You know, as long as you're not doing anything, you don't have to worry about the devil. You know, he's not going to mess with you. You know, he don't need to mess with you. You're not doing anything. So he's just going, as a matter of fact, he's just going to continue to encourage and support you in the way that you're going. But as soon as you get busy for God, that's when the opposition is going to come. That's when it's going to come. We're going to talk about some things this morning, some opposition that we receive. And so you need to have some spiritual armor when you get into this fight. And that's what we're dealing with now. How can you be in this fight? How can you find a reason to fight and then go out there and fight, realizing that opposition is coming? And so we're giving you the armor that you need to stand in this fight. Sometimes when people get up, they want to say, "I knew you when." I remember my aunt came one time, and this is when my brother was here. He was... one of the associate ministers. My aunt came and said that I just thank God that he got a hold of my two nephews, Bunny and Funnel. I said, man, people be taking you back, man, you know? And if you're not careful, you know, you will begin to allow the past to affect you. And when your past affects you, then you begin to, in this whole mode of self-condemnation and putting yourself down, and you begin to think that, well, I can never do anything for God. And so that self-accusation puts you down. A second way that we can accuse ourselves is that Satan allows us our feelings to accuse us. Well, you know, I don't feel like I'm a child of God. I don't feel like I can live a righteous life. I just don't feel like I'm all that God wants me to be. And so what do? We beat ourselves up. And God, and I'm going to show you in a second the difference between Satan's accusation and God's conviction, because that's a big difference. And when God convicts us, God is convicting us so that we'll get on up and get strong and get better and do God's will. Satan accuses us to beat us down. And if your feelings are beating you down, if your feelings are tearing you up, then this is not what God would have, but this is of the devil. Another way that we accuse ourselves is that we accuse ourselves by saying things like this. I can never live this Christian life. You know, here goes one right here. I have sexual needs that must be fulfilled, and I just can't practice moral purity. What are we doing? We accusing ourselves. Well, you know, I love to party and have a good time. Therefore, I could never be one of these holy rollers. Accusing yourself, putting yourself down. The reason that so-and-so left me and we didn't get along because, you know, I'm trying to live for God and I'm trying to do right. I guess it's just not worth it for me to live for God. I might as well just go ahead and do what I was doing before because, you know, I had more fun then. And it seemed like I had a boyfriend then. I had a girlfriend then. And this is just, that's self-accusation. Man, that's coming straight from the pit of hell. And people get caught up in that. This self-accusation thing. And when you begin to accuse yourself and you begin to tear yourself down, that's of the devil. God is not going to accuse you and try to destroy you. God's objective is to build you up. Second tactic that Satan loves to pull out of his bag of tricks is to cause other people to accuse you. Other people will come after you and say things about you and dog your name and drag it through the bud. Now, you know what? If you are accused, if you are being accused by others, let me just tell you something. You ought to be happy. You know why? Let me tell you why you ought to be happy. Because you're standing in good company. Listen to this. Job was accused by his three friends. Nehemiah was accused of trying to usurp the king's authority. Moses was accused of trying to be a dictator. Paul was accused of with many false charges. Jesus was accused of being a glutton and a drunkard, of being demon-possessed, and being a blasphemer. So, hey, when you're being accused, guess what? You're in good company. When somebody accuses you falsely, you're all right. Just say, hey, you know what? I'm in good company, devil. I'm glad that you thought enough to put me in there with Job and Jesus and Paul. That's all right when you're being falsely accused. And, you know, there's a song that whenever somebody begins to accuse you falsely, that I remember the church that I pastored before, they would sing this song all the time. There's always somebody talking about me. Really, I don't mind. They try to block and stop my progress most of the time. The mean things you say, they don't make me feel bad because I can't miss a friend that I never had. I got Jesus, and that's enough. I got Jesus, and that's enough. So when others begin to accuse you, realize that that's just a tactic from the devil. And I just want to say this, that if you want to accuse me, and I heard somebody say this, and I said that, man, this is so apropos. If you're going to put me down on your prayer list. That's where I want to be. Put me down on your prayer list, all right? So others
will accuse us. And you know, sometimes even our circumstances will accuse us. Sometimes we go through difficulties in life, and we say that, man, you know, I'm having financial troubles, or I'm having sickness, and you know, man, God is trying to judge me. You know, what did I do wrong? You know, why is this evil coming on my life? And so sometimes we allow our circumstances to accuse us. And we need to realize that these accusations that come like that are from the devil. Now, what is the difference between God's conviction and Satan's accusations? And you know, we need to understand this, because I think that in order for us to understand this, you know, we need to look at the character of God and the character of Satan, so that when these things come in our lives, and you know, one of the main problems with God's people sometimes is that we are not discerning. Things begin to happen to us, and we just let them happen to us, and we don't try to discern where the origin of those things are. And God is speaking and saying, look, you need to understand where this attack is coming from. Remember I said before, we deal with four battles. We deal with a battle with the flesh, a battle with God, a battle with the world, and a battle with the devil. So we got to discern where this battle is coming from in order for us to deal with it. And if we think that we're in a battle with Satan and we're actually in a battle with God, then we're using the wrong tools to fight the battle. So you need to understand the nature of the battle, where the battle was coming from, and then once you understand that, then you can get ready for it. And when you understand where it's coming from, Satan, then you need to gird yourself up and deal with the battle. God's conviction. God convicts us in love. Satan accuses us in hatred. Satan hates you. Don't be naive to think that the devil likes you. The devil, look, the Bible said that he's a murderer. He was involved in the first murder right from the beginning. When Cain killed Abel, according to 1 John, that Satan was the one that inspired him. Satan hates you. People say, well, you know what? I don't mind going to hell, because when I get there, all my friends are going to be there, and we're just going to have one big party. Well, you know what? You got part of that right. Unless your friends got saved, then yeah, they're going to be there. But you know what? Hell is a place of isolation, and the Bible says weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. And so you can say that I'm going to be with my friends, but they might be in a compartment completely different from yours, and to be isolated. And you know the thing about it? See, we got these wrong concepts of hell, too, because you know, we see Satan standing with this pitchfork and pointed tail with you know, red suit and pointed ears, stoking a fire. Well, if you read the book of Revelation, this brother's going, he got to deal with his own problems. You know, he got enough of his own problems. He's not going to be stoking the fire up for you in hell, but he's going to do everything he can to get you there. Satan hates us. Watch this. God uses his word to convict us. Your main source of conviction, Help me, Holy Ghost. Your main source of conviction should be from the word of God. Now, I'm not saying that God won't work through feelings and God won't work through memories, but your main source of conviction should come from God's word. People say, well, you know, I had this dream. Well, you know, you might have been like me. My wife ordered a pizza last night, and I just ate a couple of slices before I went to sleep, you know? And so, you know, sometimes that pizza is speaking to you. Your main source of conviction needs to come from the word. If you get convicted through your feelings and your memories, then you know what? I would put that on the back burner for a moment. I'm not going to say throw it away, but put it on the back burner for a moment and get into this word. And let God's spirit minister to you, because God will convict you from his word. God convicts us to draw him closer, to draw us closer to himself. Satan convicts us, or Satan tries to accuse us so that we will be pushed away from God. So if you find yourself being pushed away from God, it's either one of two things. It's either the flesh or the devil. Because why does God come in to your life and convict you? God convicts you because he loves you. God convicts you because he wants you to draw close to him. And if you're being pushed away from God, you know, that's not God. God will not push you away from him. He loves you too much to push you away. So if you find yourself being pushed away, and some of you may be sitting here this morning, you find yourself drifting further and further away from God. That's not God doing that. That's not God doing that. That's the flesh, or that's Satan. God disciplines us. Satan tries to discourage us. And God convicts us to give us hope. Satan accuses us so that we will give up. So now I went through all that so we can see that that's Satan's job. He is the accuser. He is going to attack you with accusations. And in order for you to be able to stand, God has provided, amen, God has provided a piece of equipment for you to be able to stand. And this piece of equipment is called the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate was a piece of armor that covered the full torso of the soldier. It was made of leather or heavy linen, and onto it were sewn many pieces of metal. The breastplate protected the heart, lungs, and the upper body. God gave us this breastplate. Now, what does this breastplate of righteousness mean for us? We see what it meant for the Roman soldier. What does it mean for us? What Paul is saying, he's saying, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, a literal rendering of the Greek would read, put on for yourself the breastplate, which is righteousness. Notice he didn't say, not like a little baby, have your mama dress you, okay? Not like someone who needs to be assisted, but God said, you put it on for yourself. You see, you can't depend on somebody else to put on the breastplate of righteousness for you. They might be asleep. They might forget. They might be doing something else. You got to put it on for yourself. And so that's what Paul says. Make sure that you got on the breastplate of righteousness. The word righteousness refers to a state of being in line with God's holy and true standards for living. That's what it means. See, you know, once again, we put all kind of mystical and magical definitions to sanctification and righteousness and holiness. Let's come on down and boil this thing and make it plain and simple. Righteousness is holy and true living. That's what it is. Don't try to figure out anything else and say that we got to get into the deeper. No, let's deal with the surface. Let's deal with what we can understand, that righteousness is true and holy living. Plain and simple. That's what it is. And Paul is exhorting the Christian soldier to put on the piece of armor that protects against Satan's slanderous attacks, especially in the area of righteous living. Where is Satan going to attack you at? Satan is going to attack you in the area of your righteousness. If he accuses you and you get discouraged, then what happens? Well, you know, this Christian life is just not worth it. I'm just going back to doing what I was doing before. Satan got you. Well, you know, I was having more fun out there in the world. I might as well go on back to what Satan got you. That's an attack of the devil. He attacks your righteousness, and he accuses you in your righteousness. And as we look at this, we need to understand that God has given to the believer three types of righteousness. And as we look at these three types of righteousness, we have these to be able to do battle with the devil. The first type of righteousness that we have is what I call positional righteousness. And this is the righteousness that you believe the moment you receive Christ as your Savior. That the minute that you got saved, God gave you a positional righteousness. And what does Satan want to do? Satan wants to go back and attack your past life. I don't know about you, but every now and then as I'm riding down the street, I'll have a flashback. And my flashback will be about something that was BC, that was before Christ. And if I'm not careful, Satan can begin to beat me up with that thought. Satan can begin to tear me apart with that thought. If I'm not careful, I'll begin to feel guilty and I'll begin to feel worn down. And then, you know, Satan has won the victory. But I need to realize that I have a positional righteousness, that God has saved me. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8. See, positional righteousness frees you from the pointing of Satan. What is the pointing? His accusations. Satan is pointing at you. He's trying to tear you down. And even as you look at Job, What did God say? Have you considered my servant Job? What did Satan do? Pointed a finger. Look, man, the only reason he's serving you is because you bless him. You stop blessing him, and he's going to stop serving you. The accusations were flying. Romans chapter 8 in verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Whew. Look. Stop on that one for a minute. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? If you're here this morning and you have been saved, you are elected by God. And if you are elected by God, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Now, let me ask this question. It's a setup. Who can lay anything to your charge? Satan can't come. He can't bring anything about your past. Man might bring something about your past. But you know what? If you're walking right now, if you're doing right now, God done forgot about it. You know, there was a lady, she wasn't a good mother, and her son passed away and went to heaven. And she got saved, and she ended up going to heaven. And as she got up there, she saw her son, and the first thing she said to her son, she said, "Oh, son," she said, "I was such a bad mother, and I wish I would have did this." And the son said, whoa, wait a minute, Mom. He said, "Mom, up here, we don't keep record of such things." Amen. Amen. God don't keep record of such things. That when you are positionally right, that God looks at you as being a righteous individual. And people will come and attack your character, attack your past. But God says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Shall God that justifieth, or is he condemneth? Shall Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen, who is even at the right hand, who also makes intercession for us? He said, look, this is deep. Man, this is deep. Listen to this. He said the two people that could condemn you. He said, number one, God won't, because he just. God won't condemn you because he's justified you. Christ won't condemn you because he's making intercession for you. The only two that could won't. Amen. Amen. And then Paul goes into this. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Man, nobody. Can't condemn you. Satan can't condemn you. Somebody said when Satan reminds you of your past, you tell him about his future. That'll shut him up right there. Nobody can condemn you. This positional righteousness, the moment you got saved, God took care of you.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Breastplate of Righteousness. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Breastplate of Righteousness, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Breastplate of Righteousness. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Breastplate of Righteousness. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.